You are listening to the O Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, CW. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to hit that bell on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcasting app. How are you guys doing? How was your holiday weekend if you were in the States? I'm turned about because of that day off. So I think, as I'm recording this, which is a Wednesday morning, which is when you'll get it, I'm feeling like a Tuesday morning when I normally record. So forgive me. You will have this episode, and then I will record again tomorrow to fill out my Thursday episode. But we're back in the saddle. I'm feeling good. We've watched a ton of wrestling, WWE wrestling, since Saturday at Bash in Berlin. And I have thoughts. So I wanted to introduce a new segment based on something I did, I think it was last week, called What's Next. And what's next, we're going to go over, you know, what we think is next or what could be next, or just ask the question, what's next for certain gimmicks, tag teams, wrestlers, factions, storylines, whatever that has popped up in the past week or has just been going on for quite a while. And number one I want to cover is the Unholy Union, the tag team that won at Clash in the Castle, defeating, I think it was Bianca and Jade and Damage Control, I want to say, in a triple threat match, won the titles in a fluke, was booked straight to hell until this past Bash in Berlin, where Jade and Bianca took the titles back, honestly. And let's start with the name. Unholy Union's a terrible name for that tag team. Why? Well, they started off as witchy ladies who were doing spells and whatnot in their vignettes when they were coming back. But since then, they've all but dropped that angle. I haven't seen any more witchiness. I haven't seen any more spookiness from them. They're just a tag team, which is fine, but their name makes very little sense in the grand scheme of things now. So that's number one. They're lacking on a good name. But that kind of has permeated through WWE for the most recent months, the last 9 months. A lot of names have cropped up, and we've been through this, that are just not hitting. Unholy Union, Pure Fusion Collective. I don't really particularly like American Made. What's another bad one? There's so many. New Catch Republic. A lot of triple names. A lot of three-word names. Anyway. So, Jade and Bianca are champs again. It was obvious they were going to win. There was no real reason for Unholy Union to have the titles after getting just completely beat up for the past 2.5 months or whatever it was. And they weren't positioned as very dominant champs. They had the sort of scrappiness to hold the titles, but they certainly weren't going to lose, or they weren't going to win against the, you know, the mega powers of the women's division. And I didn't know where they were going with that angle. So they've the Unholy Union beat Damage Control on Raw to get another shot at the titles, and I'm very confused why they get another shot. Is there another team we can put in that slot? Are there enough women's tag teams in the organization to kind of move these belts forward a little bit? Where are Katana Chance and Kayden Carter? Haven't seen them in a bit. In terms of like going back after their titles. Who on the roster, what women's tag team on the roster can challenge Jade and Bianca to move that belt forward? I don't know. So I'm asking what's next for Unholy Union, and honestly, what's next for the women's tag team titles? Jade is working, you know, she's trying to get better. Bianca is always great. So hopefully Bianca's work ethic and her, you know, abilities will transfer through osmosis to Jade, and they can carry these tag titles. Maybe let them carry them for a little bit. Don't sidetrack the titles, because it didn't it didn't feel like Unholy Union getting those titles moved anything forward. It felt, in hindsight, it feels like because they were in their home country that they went over, which is fine, but they did nothing with them. I wish they would have made them a bit more dominant or spooky, you know, like make them do more witchy stuff to keep them with the titles, to keep that Unholy Union thing going. But yeah, they never did it. So next up on the what's next list is the New Day. So they got all this quote unquote press with Karrion Kross and the Final Testament. They brought in Odyssey Jones, who is now rumored to be out of the company. They've completed, I think, their feud with Karrion Kross and his motley crew of emo kids. And I'm asking, what's next? Now that Odyssey Jones is no longer in the picture, what is in store for Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston? Kofi had a vignette in the back during Raw asking for a shot at the tag team titles, which is okay, but are we just abandoning Xavier Woods' sort of move into singles competition? I hope not. Even if they keep New Day as a unit, I'd like to see him continue to move on to doing more singles matches on his own and getting that singles praise, put him in some IC championships, maybe have him win that speed title so that he actually can say he won a singles title in WWE. Who knows? But the Odyssey Jones thing, it felt complete, let's be honest. Now he's gone, but we're not losing anything because he did help them beat the Final Testament, and they did set up the whole, you know, split between Kofi and Xavier. But now I'm questioning if they're going to follow through, if they're going to keep moving forward with that storyline. And in the same vein, what's next for Karrion Kross and his team? Like, what, how do you move that team forward? You know, their whole shtick seems to be they're like venomous. They poison teams or they poison certain individuals, and then those individuals go bad. That's been the kind of through line for Karrion Kross for the past couple of years, honestly, which I think if that was planned, I doubt it was. I think it was a large coincidence that they're paying off. But if that was sort of a plan, that's a great angle for him, but he has to win. Him and his team have to be dominant. They have to rack up some kind of, you know, accolades to say that not only does he poison people, but he is a force to be reckoned with. Having him just be a guy who loses all the time but then corrupts other people isn't an angle. That's just, it's almost like, how do you write a story around a loser? Which I don't think he's a loser, but his character loses a lot. His group loses a lot. They have a lot of confidence for a group that doesn't do well. So I'm questioning what's next for both parties in that storyline. I'm hoping Xavier Woods gets his push. I'm hoping Karrion Kross racks up some wins. I'm hoping AOP. AOP needs a repackage. They still look too much like the Shield to me. And I don't get why they're not going after the tag titles. They're huge, and I'm sure they can put down the Judgment Day, but they're not in that mix. So again, what tag teams are in the mix for the Judgment Day's titles? You know, we have, I almost called him Justin. We have Damian Priest and Jey Uso making a makeshift tag team and potentially going after those titles because of the angle. But that is just a thrown together tag team that I hope doesn't win. Give it to an established tag team. Get a tournament going. Do whatever you got to do. But get those titles, either keep them on Judgment Day or elevate another tag team. That's this episode of What's Next. I like this. I like positing. So let me know what you think in the comments, and let me know what you think is next for the people we talked about. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the O Wrestling Podcast. I appreciate you, and don't you ever forget.
I'm your friend, but if I ever see you in the ring, I can beat you. Don't you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.